Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen. It's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer request and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
Amen. I like that. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I'm your hostess for today, Valuable Valacita. Welcome to Declare Victory. Are there any first-time callers? Okay, sounds like we are all family. The events for today are as follows. Declare Victory has an app where you can submit your prayer requests. We encourage you to download the app and submit your request that way. This will help decrease the traffic we are experiencing with the amount of prayer requests we receive during greeting time. Information on the app can be found in the Victory Room, or you can ask a friend. Today, you are invited to join us for Wait While We Wait Wednesday. Push your plate back and fast in prayer for what you need God to do in your life. If that is not possible, consider giving up something else that you enjoy, such as social media or television. Be sure to meet us back here after fasting at 5 p.m. for a closing prayer. I'll now move on to the online prayer request. Looks like we have several. The first one was submitted by Daniel Mills, Jr., and this prayer request is for himself and his family, and he's asking for prayer and favor and them getting an apartment at 305 South 4th Street in Richmond, California, and he's also asking for prayer for the DV family. The next one, submitted by Pamela, and this is for herself. She says, please be in prayer for me. I'm supposed to travel today, and the doctors are concerned about my blood count and immune system. Please pray that I will receive complete healing and be released to travel to Arizona this evening. The next prayer request is submitted by Resilient Rosanna, and this is for someone by the name of Candy. Please pray for Candy and her husband. Candy has been enduring years of mental and emotional abuse. She doesn't know how much more she can take, and she said that his actions don't remotely reflect those of a Christian. And they just need prayer in this situation. And she's also asking that the Declare Victory family be in prayer with her on this situation. The next one is submitted by Diane Templeton. This is for Sean Hayes. Sean has had hiccups for the last 2 years or longer, and now they are affecting his eating. Let's bombard heaven, interceding on Sean's behalf. Thank you, DV family. And she submitted another for Betty Williams. Betty was diagnosed with the C word, and the doctors have given up on her and sent her home. Let us cry out to God, interceding on Betty's behalf. And Diane submitted one more for Dorothy Carter. Dorothy was diagnosed with having lesions on her pancreas and kidneys. And again, let's bombard heaven, interceding on Dorothy's behalf for God's healing. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Ruth, declaration by Diamond Gale. Prayer warrior number one is Dee Dee. Prayer warrior number two is Marcus. Prayer warrior number three is Bernice. And closing today is Carol. I'll repeat that. Scripture will be read by Ruth, declaration by Diamond Gale. Prayer warrior number one is Dee Dee. Prayer warrior number two, Marcus. Prayer warrior number three, Bernice. And closing today is Carol. At this time, I would like to ask you all to please mute your line by pressing the standard mute feature on your phone or by pressing star 6. I now pass the call to Ruth.
Good morning, family. I come to you from 1 Peter, chapter 1, 8 and 9. Sorry, I'm dealing with the cold this morning. Though you have not seen Jesus Christ, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with his inexpressible and joyous joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Good morning, prayer warriors. I give honor to God, from whom all of my blessings flow. I thank all who have come before me this morning and all who will follow. Thanks for your obedience to God. I have entitled this declaration, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. The heart is the center of a person's mind, the heart is the center of a person's life, including the mind, will, and emotions. The mind is the state of cognitive facilities. Forgive me this morning. The mind is the set of cognitive faculties that enables consciousness, perception, thinking, judgment, and memory. The definition of will is a voluntary choice or decision. Freedom to make choices that are not determined by prior causes or by divine intervention. Divine intervention is definitely needed when it comes to matters of the heart. Emotions are a mental state that arises spontaneously rather than through conscious efforts, and is often accompanied by physiological changes, a feeling. A strong feeling such as love, anger, joy, hate, or fear. As in the movie Ray, The Life of Ray Charles, most blind people have extrasensory perception because they cannot see. Their other senses are usually heightened. Some blind people use their hands to outline another person's face to get a feel of the physical features. Ray Charles even took checking out the physical features to another level. He could measure a woman's wrist by holding it and know if she was thin or pleasantly plump. I do not think that Ray's priority was the lady's heart. Nowadays, with all the plastic surgery, if we concentrate on a person's exterior, we can definitely be distracted from the heart. This includes men as well. All six packs were not gotten at the gym. Statistics show that men are getting a surprisingly amount of plastic surgery as well. While growing up in Louisiana, I would hear elderly people say that some of the most beautiful people had ugly ways. They did not have a loving and kind heart. I noticed that some of the people that were not so pretty on the outside were called beautiful and kind. My grandmother explained to me one day that because a person has a kind heart, that person is beautiful. She told me that beauty is only skin deep, but a person's kind heart will remain after the beauty fades away. Like God created me to, I want to concentrate on the heart of others, not the physical features of vibrant personality. I want to close my eyes to the physical and outline a person's heart. What if we were all literally transparent? Only our hearts could be seen with the naked eye. It would probably save many of us a lot of heartache. How would it? A lot of times, God does reveal to us a person's heart. If we are attracted to that person for other reasons, we often feel that we can be a heart surgeon and perform heart surgery on them to change them into what we want them to be. Sometimes we are more focused on their other features. We are sometimes naive. We have future hopes and dreams and fantasies that includes those other people. Sometimes we are so in love, we turn a blind eye to what we really see. God may be whispering in our ears, and we still go in the direction that we want to go in for the sake of love. In hindsight, we saw it, but put blinders on. Once the blinders are off, we claim that we were blind, but now we see. Matters of the heart can be very touchy and sensitive. Sometimes they are so complicated that even in prayer requests, we ask, even in prayer requests, we just ask for prayers for the matters of our heart. Sometimes it's so painful that we do not want others to know the details. We just need prayer. It often causes embarrassment and shame. All those matters of the heart. There are many songs that were evolved due to matters of the heart. They are majority of love songs that are derived from heartache. The emotions are so strong and relatable. That is why so many people make millions from those songs. Another group of songs are established due to our love for God. Many of these songs are used in our churches to heal our hearts. Many of us use them at home when we hum the songs and we just feel so low and down and out that these are used to soothe and comfort us. Many of these songs are used to heal our hearts. Where would many of us be without these songs of comfort? Many times, we are placed in various categories based on others' perceptions of our heart. Most of us have heard the saying, you wear your heart on your sleeve. I think that I fall into this category. I try not to let my emotions be so apparent in order to protect my heart. Some people are sometimes referred to as cold-hearted. We do not always know the reason for the armor on a person's heart. The coldness could be due to bad life experiences in which that person was hurt repeatedly, usually by a close loved one, someone they trusted, and was deceived by them. Some people are referred to as having a heart of gold. They are often people who are very kind. Other people are perceived as heartless. They may even seem inhumane. Some people are categorized as having a pure heart, one who reflects innocence, much like children who have not been tainted. A peaceful heart, possibly the peacemaker in the family, our circle of friends. A warm heart usually attracts and encourages others. I am striving to have a grateful, compassionate heart that loves unconditionally. While doing this declaration, it caused me to reflect on an incident that happened in Paris. We had gone to a fast food restaurant within the hour of arriving there. Two homeless guys came into the restaurant without shoes on. Their feet were filthy, encrusted with calluses. The owner served them as he did everyone else. A male customer ordered his food and then noticed the homeless guys. He gave them a verbal lashing. It was quite obvious, even though he was not speaking English. The two homeless men remained silent, and so did the owner. The owner displayed his kind heart by his treatment of the two homeless men. As stated in the Bible, favoritism is forbidden. In James 2, verses 1 through 4, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also come into your place. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Also stated in the Bible in Isaiah 16:7, God looks at our hearts. In Psalms 139 and 23, God searches and knows our hearts. In Ezekiel 36:26, God gives us a new heart. In Matthew 5:8, God blesses the pure in heart. My prayer for us victors today is that, as stated in Deuteronomy 6:5-7, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Thought for the day. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Proverbs 27:19. Be blessed and encouraged as I pass the call.
If you're praying, we can't hear you.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, just thanking you, Father, for allowing us to wake up and see another one of your beautiful days, Father. Lord, I just ask this morning that you touch Sister Julia's body, Lord Jesus. Touch from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. I just lift up the DV family and Sister Julia's family to you, Lord, thanking you for how I know that you're working in each of our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just lift up Imani's mother to you, Lord, asking you to be with her as she goes through surgery today, Lord. Touch the surgeons and the nurses and everyone that's going to be affiliated with her today, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up the Tony family to you, Lord, asking you for direction, Lord Jesus. You are our director, Lord. You show us the path to go, Father, and I just ask you to touch this family, Lord, and help them to make the right decision for their lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for the praise report of Mrs. Franklin, Lord, that her uncle is out of the hospital, Father. Continue to touch his body and heal him, Lord Jesus, as only you can heal us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift Susie and her family up to you today, Lord, thanking you for that life that has gone, Father, but giving them the strength, Lord, to keep their hand in your hand and realize that you're in total control of everything, Lord. Give them comfort, Lord Jesus. Comfort them, Father, as only you can comfort them, Lord. I know that loss is difficult, Father, but if we keep our hand in your hand and just continue to read your word and continue to look to you, Lord, you're the only one that can really, truly comfort us, Lord Jesus, this morning. I lift up Brother Dan and his family to you, Lord, asking you that if this apartment is for them, Father, open up the door for them, Lord Jesus, and make a way, Lord Jesus. Thank you in advance for what I know you've already been working on and doing, Lord. I lift up Pamela for traveling grace and healing, Lord, that you allow her to go to be with her family this season, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up Candy and her husband to you, Father, asking you, Lord, to intercede in that situation, Father, for you made marriage, Lord Jesus. And I just ask you to work in their lives, Lord, each of them, Lord. If they don't know you, Lord, have them to ask what they can do to make a difference in their lives, Lord Jesus. They need you right now, Lord. Lord, I lift up Sean to you this morning, Father, for he has hiccups, Lord, and it's affecting his eating, Father. I just ask you to touch that throat, Lord. Touch that stomach. Touch whatever is causing this, Lord Jesus. We look to you, Father, for everything we need, Lord, for you're our healer. You're our savior. You're everything to us, Lord. Lord, I lift up Betty Williams to you, Father, asking you, Lord, to heal her body, Lord, if that be your will. Lord, I ask that you give her family the strength, Lord, to go through this difficult time right now, Lord Jesus. We're looking to you for guidance, Lord. Lord, I lift up Dorothy Carter to you, Lord, thanking you for her, Lord, thanking you for touching her body, Lord Jesus. Heal those lesions, Lord, if that be your will. Touch her pancreas and her kidney, Lord, with your healing hand, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you right now for allowing us to wake up and see another day, Lord. For if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here, Lord. I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love, Lord. I thank you that even while we were still sinners, Lord, you sent your son to die, that we might have this privilege to even talk to you right now, Lord, or to even be here right now, Lord. Lord, I lift up everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, Lord, thanking you for allowing us to wake up and see another day, Lord. Somebody didn't wake up last night, Lord. Somebody didn't have a warm house to be in last night, Lord. I just thank you, Father. I just magnify your name, Lord. I just lift up Gail to you, Lord, thanking you for her declaration, Lord, and ask you to continue to touch and heal and keep her in good health, Lord Jesus. I lift up Dion to you and Tanya and Ravonda and Elder Paulette and Pastor Lavelle and Pastor Coleman to you, Lord. Thanking you for our pastors, Lord, and our teachers. And Father, my heart is just so full this morning, Lord. I thank you for who you are, Lord, and I thank you for helping me to know whose I am, Lord, and to be more like you every day, Lord Jesus. Father, if there are any prayer requests that were spoken or unspoken that I missed, Lord, you know what the prayer requests were, Father. And I just ask you to touch and heal and give us comfort where we need comfort, Lord. As some of us are fasting today, Lord, give us strength to get through this day, Lord, and to have a goal in mind that what we're fasting for, Lord, and help us to make a change in our lives, Lord Jesus. We have to totally trust you in all things, Lord. I'm so glad you're in control of my life, Lord Jesus. I just ask these things as I pass the call in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Dear God, we come to you to say thank you for this day. We love you, Jesus. We adore you, and we magnify your name, God, because of who you are. We glorify you, Jesus. You are the greatest. You are the greatest ever, God, and there's nobody like you. There's never been anyone like you, and there'll never be anyone close to you, oh God. We just love you and adore you, and we lift your name up Thank you for loving us and for having grace and mercy upon us, oh God. And so, Lord, we come to you now to confess that we are not perfect. And as you know, God, we haven't been always on the path, and we don't always make great decisions. But, God, we thank you that you guide us and you lead us, and you still speak to us in the midst of where we are. And so, Lord, we come to you now to thank you for doing all that you do and for being all that you are, for sending your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for sending people to us to speak to us and sending a word and sending encouragement and sending inspiration. And thank you, Lord, for looking out for us. And we bless you, God, for that. We're so grateful, God, that you even are mindful of us, God, to wake us up and to touch us with your mighty hand and to allow us to breathe again and to wake up the next day to bless your name and to give you praise and to pray and seek your face. Lord, help us to continue to do that, God. I lift up and pray for all of our families that are represented on the call right now, God. Whatever the family structure may be, I pray, God, that you will bless them now so that our families are stronger and stronger together. God, help us to pray together more, to read your word together more so that we can learn your word and study your word and strengthen our core of our families. And we thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless every wife that's represented on the call. Help her to pray for her husband and to be a covering for him. Cover him in prayer, and God, to cover him with love, God. I pray for every husband that is on the call, God, that is connected to the call. I pray that you'll bless him, oh God, to be the priest of his home and to cover his wife, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Bless that relationship, the partners, God, that they be stronger and better together. And Lord, I pray for every child represented. I pray, God, that you will bless them in a special way, God. Continue to grow our children. Continue to bless our children, oh God, and help us to be examples in front of our children so that they will know and see what direction and how to live. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Oh God, I pray now for all of those who may have some aught against us or have a problem with us. I pray, God, that you would help us, first of all, to adjust our attitudes and to not become victims of or become like what those who are having issues with us. Help us to not be stone for stone and to not do the same thing that they're doing and play hater stuff. And help us to not fall into that, God. Help us to love them in the midst of where they are. Pray, God, that you would help us to learn how to love those who don't like us and to love them with your love, oh God, because our love is tainted. Our love is kind of spotted. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, that you can help us and teach us how to love those that seem to be unlovable. And we thank you for it, Lord, because sometimes we're unlovable too. And help us to remember that and keep that in mind. So, Lord, we thank you, God, for every co-worker, every person that works with us on our jobs, those that are near us and those that are not, who don't work in the same department or the same area. I pray, God, that those who may be watching us at work, help us, Lord, to be great examples for them, Lord, so that when they hear us talk about you, that they're not distracted from the life we live. And we thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for Diamond Gale and her declaration today. I pray, God, that you would pour back into her everything that she's poured out and bless her abundantly, oh God. Let her feel your touch even now, God. And as we go further into the call, I pray, God, that you would bless each and every person. God, that you would inspire us and motivate us. And God, give Diamond Gale the strength, God, and the questions and the right things to say that will touch somebody's life through this call. And we thank you for it, Lord. I even pray for those who are calling in for the first time or who haven't spoken, be it ever or in a while. I pray, God, that you would touch their body right now. You know every need. You know every desire. And we thank you, God, that you're doing it. Amen. Lord, I thank you. Now, as I prepare to pass the call, God, I pray that you'll bless the next person that will be coming after me, O God, that you would pour into them and give them, let them feel your spirit, O God. Give them the things to pray, God. Sometimes we don't know what we ought to say when we pray, but God, we know that you'll give us the words, and we bless you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, as I pass the call.
Father, in the name of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, once again, we come to establish our legal right, and we take dominion and declare victory. Spirit of the living God, we've entered into your gates, and we have thanked you for all things that work together for the good of those who love you and are called. I ask, O Father, that you would give a great blessing to all those who have come before me and Carol who will come behind me. I bless them all, O God, for their commitment to serve. Bless them and their families. Give them the gift of life, O Father God, and show them exactly what it is that they need to do. I just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We declare victory for our city, state, and government. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for our government, city, our state, and we pray for all men and women having authority over us in any way. Pour out your spirit upon them and make your word known to them. Cause them to be men and women of integrity and obedient concerning us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. Let wisdom enter their hearts and let knowledge be pleasant. Let discretion preserve them and understanding keep them, to deliver them from the way of evil and from evil men. Make their hearts and ears attentive to godly counsel, doing what is right in your sight. Let the upright dwell in your government. Cause there to be a shaking in all areas. Let those complete and blameless, let them be complete and blameless before you. Cut off the wicked. Let the unfaithful be rooted out. Bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the secret aims of the heart. Let this nation remember from where they have fallen, repenting and returning to doing their first works, setting their hearts and their souls to seek the Lord, humbling themselves, praying and turning from their wicked ways. Then hear them, O Lord, and forgive their sin and heal our land. We declare victory for our nation. Let the nations be awakened. Let the earth hear the voice of the Lord. Judge the nations in your sight, Father, and put them to fear, that they might know themselves to be but men. Father, the whole creation groans and labors to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Send forth your spirit of truth to bear witness to you and to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Cause them to repent and to turn from their idols. Shake the nations so that they come to desire all nations. Father, cause your people to rise up. Gather your mighty ones and prepare them. Bring the multitudes in the valley to the valley of decision and send your ambassadors into all nations. Open to them a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, that the gospel of the kingdom may be preached in all the world. You have declared to your people the power of your works in giving them the heritage of the nations. Cause the righteousness and praise to spring up. Let the earth be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Father, gather the nations together that they may worship you and exalt you in all the earth. Let all the nations be blessed through your people, and let the wealth of the heathen be gathered together and be delivered into the hands of your people for the work of the Lord. Send forth your salvation to the ends of the earth and make your enemies to be your footstool. We declare victory for our military. Father, we declare that you are light and salvation for our military personnel. They will not be afraid, for you are their fortress and their protection from danger. They will not tremble. We declare that any enemy or foe who comes to attack them will stumble and fall. We confess that our soldiers will trust in you with all their hearts, and they will not depend on their own understanding. They will seek your will in all that they do, and we know that you will show them which path to take. We declare that our military personnel are blessed and highly favored. We declare that they will submit themselves to you, O God. They will resist the devil, and he will flee from them.
We cancel the assignment of anxiety, depression, anger, fear, and confusion and declare that no weapon formed against them will prosper. We command God's order to prevail within the Veteran Affairs System and Isaiah Ramirez, Tamara Hope, Lardell Mario Oliver, Devin Cook Oliver, Jonna Striplin, Angelica Renee Ramos, Zachary Stewart, Tristan Hutchinson, Gervais Jeffrey, Joshua Cheney, Jalen Jones, Demarie Jackson, Joshua Jones, and Imani Jackson. We declare victory for the church. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us draw near to you with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let your word dwell in us richly. Fill us with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding that we may live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing you and being fruitful in every work. And by being renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with and forgiving one another, that we dwell together in the unity of the faith, recognizing those who labor amongst us, esteeming them highly in love for their work's sake, standing fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith, that we are not carried about with various and strange doctrines, but we study, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we're not murmurers, complainers, walking after our own lust, but are rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. I pray that the whole body be knit and joined together, and that every part does its share, causing growth to the body. As each one of us has received a gift, let us minister it, looking out for the interest of others. Let us all fervently love one another with a pure heart so that we do not lose the things we have worked for. Let us become serious and watchful in our prayers, redeeming the time for the days are evil, running with endurance the race that is set before us, setting our minds on things above and not on things on this earth, but pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. Putting on the whole armor of God that we may stand against the devil, that we will speak forth your word with great boldness, and that you will stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your Son, Jesus. We declare victory for our pastors. I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that our pastors are faithful and that they, you preserve them, that they abound with blessings, and do not grow weary in well-doing, that you who began a good work in them will perfect it. They are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and equipped in every good thing to do your will. Work in them that which is well-pleasing in your sight, that all grace abound toward them, having sufficiency in all things, and an abundance for every good work. Because they have sowed bountifully, they will reap bountifully. And whether they plant or water, Father, you give the increase. We pray together that they continually triumph in Christ, diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, that all blessings come upon them and overtake them, because they obey the voice of their God, of you, Father. Instruct them and teach them in the way that they should go. Reveal the deeper things of God to them by your Spirit. Let them be vessels of honor, sacrificed, sanctified, and useful for you, Master, prepared for every good work, shepherding the flock willingly, eagerly, and being an example to them. Their speech and preaching is a demonstration of the Spirit and the power. As I prepare to pass the call, Father, let the gifts and anointings in their lives come forth. Birth the things that you have spoken to them in their hearts as they continually give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word as I pass the call.
Lord, we thank you this morning for all that you do. and for all that you've done and what you still have yet to do, oh God. Thank you for waking each and every one of us up on this morning, Lord. We thank you for breathing your breath of life on us. I ask, Father God, that you would please forgive each and every one of us for any sins that we may have committed, Lord God. I ask that you would just wash us white as snow. I thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace. And, Lord, I come to you with a heart of thanksgiving. I thank you for all the things that you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for divine healing that only you can give. We thank you, God, for the manifestation of every miracle that you have ever had for us, according to what your word says in John 16 and 23. May all things done through me be used to glorify you, O God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your joy. I thank you for your peace, your greatness, your goodness, and your kindness, O God. I ask that you would continue to steal in each and every one of us on this call your likeness, God, because, Lord, we do desire to be Christ-like. Lord God, I ask that you would bless and heal those that are sick. Lord, I ask that you would just touch those that are afflicted with pain and heal their bodies right now in the name of Jesus. I lift up each and every one on the prayer list, Lord God. I pray that you would touch and meet each and one of their individual needs. And God, I trust that you would grant any unspoken prayer requests as well. God, to you I give all honor and glory. And Lord, in your presence, we have purpose. And we thank you, God, for the purpose that you have for each and one of us individually. We thank you, Lord, for the plans that you have for our lives. We thank you, O God, and are grateful for your provisions in our lives and that all of our needs are met. And we ask, God, that we might have a full life of joy and have it in abundance and that it be overflowing, O God. Thank you, Lord, for your protection over our families and our children while they are away at school and just being apart from us, God. Just watch over our children. Lord, I thank you for your angelic protection, God, because I know that you are the only one who is capable of protecting us angelically like that in the name of Jesus. I just thank you, God. Lord, I ask that you would bless those deemed as being mentally ill. I ask, God, that you would touch their hearts and minds. Bless their souls, God. I pray for the homeless, and, Lord, I pray that you would give them resources and connect them with people who might be able to help them find housing, who might be able to help them find clothing, Lord. I just ask that you would touch those people right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, my heart is very dear for single parents, and I ask, God, that you would give them the strength and the courage to raise their children. Sometimes, God, it's really, really hard to raise children on our own, but we can do all things, God, with your help. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask, God, that you would bless the single parents indeed, God. Bless their territory. Bless all that they do in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would feel, and just deal with everyone on this call on this morning with your peace and your character and your nature, God, because to be like you is the best to be. I ask that you would help us to be thankful, Lord God, and mindful in all of our situations and circumstances, but, Lord, that we never neglect to put on the full armor of God. Teach us, God, to be thankful for each one of our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord God, use us mightily to witness and share the gospel of Jesus with the lost. I ask that you would just continue to dwell in our hearts always, that we may be rooted and grounded in love. I thank you, Jesus, because I know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I thank you, God. We're grateful, Lord, for all that you do. God, you are a good God, and we worship you, O Lord. Lord, we choose not to conform to the things of this old sinful world, God. Instead, we choose to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I ask that you, God, would continue to show me and us your will to enable us to walk in your will. And as we take our phones off mute, Lord God, I ask that you would just be in the midst of everything we do. I ask that you would bind our will and the will of God and bind our minds to be like the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, I rebuke the spirit of fear and confusion as these are not of God. I pray that strength, power, and courage would rest upon the hearts of those suffering. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would grant to each and every one of us, according to your riches in Christ Jesus, glory and strength for our inner spirits, God. For Lord, you hear my cry. Lord, please hear as I pray to you, O God. You are our rock, you are my shelter and our shelter, O God. You are our mighty fortress. You are our comfort in all sorrow, our peace and pain and our stress. Lord, you are our God. And we come to you for everything, God. We know that you can help us. God, I ask that you would let your word and your spirit revive us again. Bless our country, the military, and our leaders. Lord, give us blessings to our friends and family. Lord, thank you for sharing.
Lord, we praise you, we honor and adore you. And Lord God, as we leave this place, but never in your presence, Lord God, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and honor on this Wednesday and every day. Amen. As I pass the call.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Hello and welcome again to Declare Victory. My name is Valuable Valisita. I'm your hostess. I hope you've been blessed by the call today. Are there any callers that didn't get a chance to say hello? Okay. Are there any victors that joined the call late and would like to say hello?
This is Tim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning, Jamila.
Good morning, Helen. Any other victors that would like to say hello this morning?
Good morning, it's Cindy.
Good morning, Cindy. Anyone
good
else?
Good morning, it's Niecy. Good morning.
Good morning, Niecy. Are any of the children on the line that would like to say hello? Okay. Well, we hope that you can join us for the next segment of the call, which is the Love, Life, and Victory portion of the call. Thank you and have a blessed day. I now pass the call to Diamond Gale.
Good morning again, Victor. Our God is an awesome God who desires and reveals an individual relationship with us all. Praise God for his love for me. I praise God for his love for me, for looking beyond my faults, for sustaining me through a major illness. I'm celebrating God's love for me as a 15-year cancer survivor, thriver, on December 20th. Thank you, my Heavenly Father, for loving me unconditionally. Hallelujah. The gift of life and my Lord's love is the best and only gift I ever need on this holiday season and any other day of the year. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's amazing to me, no matter how often I give declarations, I just get so nervous. But keep me in your prayers. Would anyone like to share any comments that they may have that may have been sparked by the declaration? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I would. This is Tim.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Diamond Gale. You did a great job. You really brought forth you brought forth things that I've never heard discussed in any circles that I've been in. But to describe a person by including the heart of that person and their actions and what we see of that person, I think it's a very interesting concept when we talk about people. One thing I didn't hear you say, but I have heard said, that when a person is doing something or attempted to do something, to put your heart in it. And that is kind of, illustrative that you will give your all in all when you are doing something, to put your heart in it. We'll say if you put your mind to it, to do what you can, but to put your heart in it sort of represents a person who's willing to give all that they have, the best that they have, to a thing. And I think that if we were to all take a moment and look at ourselves, not necessarily in the mirror, but to look deep down in our hearts to kind of find out who we are, because the heart is the seat of our emotions, and some of us are led more by our emotions and sometimes can get into trouble because of our emotions versus utilizing some of our logic and give ourselves that balance. I think God did an excellent job to give us emotions and logic to balance out our lives, which would give us an even keel to get through this life. If we are to use our brains to read the Bible and to use our heart to execute or to do what the Word tells us to do, I think that's a great balance. But I think you did a wonderful job, and I think that when we look at ourselves at the way our hearts are, and there are some that are considered to have a black heart, and I know you didn't cover all the terms that are used to describe the heart, but you did an excellent job. So I think that we who are listening will take a moment to not just look at ourselves in the mirror, but to look at our heart and to see what we can do to allow God to fix our hearts, that we might be better people. But excellent job. I thank you for it.
Thank you so much, Brother Tim, and it's good to hear your voice on a regular basis now. Well said.
Trying
thank
to.
You.
Amen.
Anyone else? So I know sometimes people say that that person is my heart. We even refer to a person as our actually as our heart, which means that person is very dear to us. And I believe that that's the way God looks at each and every one of us as his children, that you are my heart, as though there's no one else in this world. He loves us that much. So,
you know, I want to interject this in right quick, what you said, that it's something I always say, and I got it from Frankie Beverly. In one of his songs, he says, bless your heart. Bless your heart, bless your heart. And I've heard pastors and preachers tell people that, bless your heart. And that is somewhat of an accolade or somewhat of an encouragement, I think, to strengthen people when someone tells you, bless your heart. And it's usually after you've done something wonderful for that person, and they'll say, bless your heart. And I find that to be an encouraging comment or an encouraging statement, like I would tell you, Diamond Girl, bless your heart. Bless your heart, girl. Just bless your heart. You know, and it's meant to make you feel good. It's meant to encourage you for whatever you did to continue to be giving, loving, kind. So I think we can use that statement to encourage others too. So I just thank you for increasing my vocabulary to help somebody. Bless your heart, Diamond Girl.
Thank you. Bless yours as well. I noticed that a lot of elderly people from the South use that saying, and they still do. My godmother says it all the time. So, is there anyone else who would like to share anything on their heart this morning? It's amazing to me how God sends confirmations when I'm doing these declarations. And one was on yesterday when Dion did hers. I was like, wow, it was connected to mine. And I'm like, okay, that happens often on this line. And also, right a couple of minutes before I started my declaration, I wasn't even aware of this, that my cousin Renee sent me day 15, a time to decorate, and it reads, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him, Isaiah 53:2. It's easy to become enamored with beauty, especially at Christmas. We buy fragrant wreaths for our doors, bright ornaments for our trees, new clothes for parties and family dinners. But true celebration of Advent depends on the spiritual awareness of God's gift to humankind. It's fine to deck the halls as long as you also decorate your heart with gratitude and love. Father, we always want to have a heart of gratitude towards you. Give us the motivation to decorate our hearts with love for the whole year long. Amen. I just wanted to share that it went along with the declaration. Thank you so much, Renee.
Hey, Diamond Girl, this is Marcus.
Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning. Great declaration, as always. I wanted to ask you on the notion of the heart. I was thinking, have you ever had an issue, trying to discern or trying to figure out, like, what is the intent of a person? You know, like, what is their real, like, because sometimes people can say things, and how do you look at, how do you try to see their heart? You understand what I'm asking? Like,
yeah.
Do you have an issue with that, and how do you gauge that?
Well, what I do is I pray a lot that God will give me discernment, because I know sometimes I feel that I'm gullible, and other people say, you know, from what other people say, that, you know, I kind of see people at their face value. I know that's what we should do, but sometimes I guess we should be a little bit more careful nowadays, because it seems as though people are not as honest as they appear. So I just pray for God to give me discernment when it comes to people, and that he removes people out of my life that does not mean me well.
Yes.
And that's what I pray, because I have had a lot of relationships where it seems as though people are out to use you more so than to just, you know, just have your best interest at heart. So
yep.
Thank you for that question. Yes. Someone wants to speak?
Lord.
Hey, oh, hello, Guy Miguel. This is Tim.
Hi.
I don't know. That's somebody else that needs to mute their phone, I think. But thank you for your share. And it's ironic. I'm going to tell you this. And I'm a hook it up. Y'all gonna think I'm going around the corner, but it just seems appropriate. So, my pregnant niece sent me a text message saying that the Lord had put on her heart for me to bake this cake that she saw online someplace. Because, and it looked really good. And so I said, you know, she obviously has a craving. I'm gonna go ahead and bake this cake. And there was so much batter from the first time. I'm not really sure how it's going to come out, but there was so much batter. Excuse me. A little bit of tickle trying to raise up in my throat. But I made the cake, and it came out really well. The challenge was it was so much batter that it rose above the pan, the bundt pan, and it's just kind of hard. Anyway, it kind of split when I actually inverted it onto a plate. Long story short, the cake was delicious, but it wasn't as pretty. And so I don't like to deliver cakes that are not pretty. They need to be pretty and taste good. So I get to her house, and I say to her, Raven, I want to tell you this story. I have a friend that is not so pretty. But, oh, my God, she has such a beautiful heart. She's hard to look at. Not any of you guys on the line. I'm not talking about none of y'all. But she's not all, but my God, the person that she is, the goodness on the inside. And she was looking at me just as confused, probably just as confused as some of you are looking right now. My point to her was is that this cake is delicious. It don't look good, but it's delicious. And so that it is, that's how it is with some people. We will judge people based upon, again, our perceptions of what they look like on the outside. But it's once we get to know them that we discover what amazing, loyal, dependable, accountable people that they are. And I hope that made sense in my analogy. You were able to relate to it.
Yes, it did. And there's also a saying, everything that looks good to you is not good for you. Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Okay. If we were transparent and only our hearts could be seen, and we were all different types of candy, what would your heart reveal? I think mine would be Jolly Ranchers, because it's a variety for everyone to choose from. And I say that because of my ability to associate with a variety of people from different nationalities and all walks of life. Would anyone like to comment on that?
Mine would be a box of assorted nuts.
And I wonder why.
Same reason. I can associate with all kind of different nuts.
Well, wait a minute, Dee. Yeah, is it going to be chocolate or what?
Kind of chocolate, Brazilian nuts.
Coffee?
All kind of nuts. All kind of nuts. Every nut on this line.
The op is nuts.
For the air, ashy nuts. Nuts is a nut is a nut.
I think my Diamond Gal would be Three Musketeers because it's chocolate. Yeah, Three Musketeers because it is a chocolate, but it doesn't contain all the fat that most other chocolates contain. And by being referenced as Three Musketeers, because I find myself in different situations where with different people, you know, that get a chance to experience my heart. It's light, you know, it's not heavy, but it's good because it is chocolate. So it'll fulfill the person's desire for chocolate, something sweet, not, you know, not a lot of fat on it. But I would say Three Musketeers because I find myself in the company of people from really many different walks of life. So I say Three Musketeers.
All right.
Mr. Gale, mine would be the everlasting gobstopper.
The what?
I know anything about that. It's like a jawbreaker, but it never loses its flavor. You can keep sucking it and keep sucking it, but it never loses its flavor.
Oh,
part is.
Jawbreaker, the jawbreaker. Is that what you're saying?
It's a jawbreaker that never loses its flavor. So my heart is always giving out. You know, and it'll never lose its vitality, its freshness.
Oh, I like that one. Thank you. Also, but you will lose your teeth messing around with it, though. I remember that when I was younger. That thing is dangerous. But yeah, good analogy, though. Anyone else?
Diamond Gale.
Yes.
Mine would be an almond joy.
That's my favorite in real life.
Because I'm with Dee Dee with the nuts.
That's my
favorite.
But I
also like chocolate.
Woo. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, almond joy. And you give joy to others.
Yes.
Good analogy.
I don't know if y'all know this or not, but coconut has been scientifically proven to have addictive qualities to it, too. I mean, you know, that's why they taste so good. Coconut.
Is that what it is?
Coconut. Yeah.
Coconut, I say candy, addictive. Period. All candy can fall in that category.
I know that's right.
Anyone else?
Well, I'm having a challenge here because this is Tanya. I'm really having a challenge. I'm thinking a pecan bud. Anybody ever remember Katie Bits from back in the day?
In the can, in the metal can.
Yes. But so you can.
Oh.
They call them, and the can had for you younger people who don't understand what real candy is. It came in a tin can. It came in a tin can, and it had a key to it. And listen here, thank you, Jesus, I just got a download. The tin had a key to it. It protected the candy. There's no way you could smash it. It was able to be preserved longer. You didn't have to worry about it being smashed or what have you. But there's a key on the bottom of the can. You peel it off, and then you there was a way, a specifically unique way, that you open the can up, but the candy part of it, and that's true to me. Can't know anybody just get to me. It's a specific way that you have to be able to unlock my heart. But when I think about the candy, it is a milk chocolate. I think I'm kind of milk chocolate, but inside it's gooey, it's soft and sweet, and there's a little hardness there because of the pecan, the nutty pecan. There's some nuttiness to me. But you talk about good. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can taste it. I can see it right now. I feel my Shondo coming on. In my sanctified spirit, I can see y'all sharing a pecan bud with me. Amen.
You got a little too deep into that, but that's okay.
this is Dolly. Peanut brittle. You know, you just can't eat one. It's just
It's just a, just can't eat one.
Yeah, that's an old school candy too.
Mine is, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Mine is, I don't eat too much candy now, but my candy used to be, the favorite candy used to be the kind that my mother used to tell us to go out on the tree and pick for coins. They should make that homemade candy and lay it out on the wax paper.
Oh, boy.
The homemade candy.
Yep. I remember that, too. I'm telling my age, huh? yeah. In Louisiana, they do things differently, you know. You don't have a lot of money.
I'm from Louisiana.
To make syrup and candy and everything else. And it was a lot of sugar, too. So,
yeah, it was good, too.
Yeah. Thank you, Miss Julia. You. Anyone else? Anyone else with the candy flavored heart? This is a question here. What I've been noticing is if you are a really nice person and you are a Christian individual, that when people manipulate your heart and they abuse your heart, they do not expect you to react like a human being. They expect the fact that you are a Christian, that it's something else flowing through your veins besides blood. And what a lot of people say when you let them know that you don't appreciate being mistreated, they always use, but you are a Christian. You shouldn't respond that way. You shouldn't act that way. Does anyone have any comments on that and how you handle that when that occurs? Or has anyone else experienced that?
Hey, this is Tan. I absolutely have experienced that. You know, my life is the church, right? So, I mean, most of my experiences are born out of. And that you are right. There is a certain, especially with other church folks, they just assume that they can, you know, some of them who are misguided and don't really understand and don't really have, anyway, I won't go down that road, but there is this assumption that they can do or say whatever and you'll just take it, especially sometimes with leadership. And I don't want to bash leadership, but that would be a misinformed leader. Who would assume that? They assume that you're supposed to, people sometimes will assume that you're supposed to take whatever and, you know, you're supposed to be the bigger person and this, that, and the other. There's a lot of assumption. And if you flash on them, they want to condemn you to hell, you know. And not that that is the best thing to do, to flash on people, but everybody has, we're all human. There is a text in my favorite that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory. So given the right set of circumstances, everybody on this line, everybody at your church, even the holiest person that you can think of, given the right set of circumstances, can see it. They could do some stuff that you would be surprised at. And it's not that we go around wearing a badge of honor that says that we are special or anything like that, but you know, we love God, but we're still human. Does that give us an excuse to go out and do everything that we want? No, that's not even what I'm saying. I'm saying that we are human beings, and sometimes we may not get it right. Sometimes, you know, our feelings might get involved or what have you. We'll examine ourselves, get ourselves back together. But, again, those are things that may happen, and people take advantage of that in and out of the church.
So how do you handle that?
Well, the way that you handle it is, you know, the way I handled my situation, when it happened, I had to, I made a decision that I was not going to be, I had to create healthy boundaries and say, I love you, but this is not okay for you to do that to me. It was offensive. You know, go back to the scripture, you know. If we have an ought against our brother, or if we know that they have one against us, we're supposed to do something about it, not just allow it to breed or just think it's going to go away on its own. And there is a system, there is a process. I think it's in Matthew. that talks about you go to your brother. If they don't accept it, you take a witness with you. And if they don't, so there are steps involved. For me, I had to learn how to address it in a calm, professional way without the emotion. And I had to say, and I had to set boundaries. It's not okay for you to do that to me. It was offensive or whatever. And not the biggest thing, Gail, was for me not to take it personal and to learn not to hold a grudge. That was a big thing for me.
Yes. I think one of my biggest challenges, I'm really praying and asking God to work, is to have a forgiving heart. You know, I'm working on it, and I'm getting a lot better. I thank God for that, and I give some credit to this prayer call that God used it as a vessel to help me, listening to various stories and life issues that everyone else have, and that they have overcome some serious situations that it teaches us unconditional love and having a forgiving heart. So thank you all for contributing to that, but that is still a journey that I'm on. Thank you so much, Tanya, for your input. Anyone else like to comment?
Can I say this one last thing, and then I promise I'll shut up because I got to get ready to go. One of the things that has helped me with forgiveness, and remember we talk about forgiveness comes in layers, two things that have helped me. Number one, remembering that I don't have the right not to forgive because God forgave me of every single thing I've ever done, even the secret stuff that nobody knows about except for me and him. That always has been in the forefront of my mind. I don't care what, I don't have the right not to forgive. I don't. That's for me. The other thing was to try to give the person the benefit of the doubt, really, and realize that I can't control them, but I can control me. And forgiving them does not mean, we say it all the time, kicking it with them all the time. But, I mean, really, that has helped me a lot, primarily, is realizing I don't have the right not to forgive because God forgave me. And if I take it one step further, if I don't forgive others, I can lose out. If I don't forgive others, God will not forgive me.
Amen.
And that helps me every single time. All right, bye.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to comment? Does anyone else have any challenges in the area of protecting your heart, or does anyone else have armor over their heart because they just feel that if they reveal their true hearts, that they might be just taken for granted by others? Does anyone have any examples of other people that they know and they've seen that?
Hey, Diamond Gill, this is Marcus. I will be one of those that will admit, yes, I have found myself being very careful of that because of past hurts or whatnot. I find myself at times not revealing certain things about me, being more careful when I am in that situation. So, like, if I meet someone new or if I'm, someone approaches me from a personal aspect, I'm a little bit guarded at times because of, you know, and I'm not really suspicious of people, but more just trying to gauge where they're coming from and what, you know, I don't know if that's wrong or not, but that's my reality, and I think it's as a result of, you know, some of the things that I've been through, and, you know, I think that's what we should do to some degree without being suspecting of people all the time, and, you know, try to figure out what angle they're coming from all the time, because not everybody's coming from an angle. And then a lot of times you can miss out on somebody being a great blessing to you because you're being so suspicious and, you know, suspecting. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you.
Hey, Gail.
Yes.
I want to touch on what Brother Marcus said, too, because the word Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, because it flows from the springs of life. And I, too, can relate to that, because for so long, when you've had your heart broken so many times from those that should have, and when I say should have, because in the natural mind, the ones that are closest to you are the ones that you are supposed to be able to trust. And that could be family, or that could, you know, friends, or even in a marriage, when you make vows and to honor and cherish, and then those vows aren't lasting, and your heart becomes broken, so it becomes hard to trust. And so you are guarded. And then getting into other relationships, you have that wall up, and you're leery, and you know you're waiting for that whistle, and you're waiting to retreat back, or you know you were only giving so much of yourself. So when you get to that place where you're learning to love again, and you're learning to love as if you've never been hurt because you're giving it to God and you're loving as God will love, so that you know that people are not able to love you like God, if that makes any sense. So you got to love in spite of the pain, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? It says love anyway. And just know that God's going to heal that hurt, and know that people, and I'm glad that Tanya said what she said too, because it ties into forgiveness. You cannot walk around in this earth with unforgiveness, and that's not a word, we know that, but you have to let go of the offenses in order to get to where you need to go. Let go of those things that were done to you, and again, it's not because you want that hurt or those people that have hurt you to be in your presence. No. Set healthy boundaries, but in your heart, free that space so that you can have peace. And that's with everybody, because we all have offended someone. We all have caused hurt and pain. The only way to truly get free is to let it go, really let it go. Those secret things, give them to God and free those people. And sometimes apologies never, ever come. There are people that will never apologize for the hurt that they've caused. And we may have hurt people that we won't apologize for, because sometimes we don't even know we've offended. So we just have to always try to ask God to search our hearts and to give us a clean heart, and we make every effort to live in peace. And it's not like me. I never try to offend anyone, and I ask every day the Lord, forgive me for anything that I may have said or done or even thought, because thoughts are just as bad. And those people, there are people that I never thought I would ever want to see in life. But I can honestly say today, I ain't mad at nobody. I don't like everybody, but I love everybody, and that's real. That's it. Love you guys all for real.
Thank you, Dee Dee.
Gail, can I say something?
Sure.
This is a missus. I just wanted to say, you know, a lot of times it's not what we say that offends a person, is how we say it. You know what I'm saying? Because I had something that was really bothering me that a young lady had did to me. And I said I wanted to talk to her and let her know. But at the time when they called me and I talked to her, the way I said it, you know, was really offensive to her, because she reacted, you know, on what I said. And then I thought about it, God, you know, after a while I thought about it, and I said, well, I asked God to forgive me. Now I'm waiting for the opportunity to ask her to forgive me.
Good point. Yeah. Because it's not always, like you say, what we say is how we say it. And sometimes I think that's where the emotions come in. And sometimes we become so emotional that our way of communicating becomes a little aggressive, you might say. And I guess that's, you know, the matters of the heart are so complicated and complex to a certain degree. But yet at the same time, it seems as though we were not born that way, because if you look at children and how they are, you know, a lot of the way we handle things are learned. Because when you look at children, how innocent they are, they have pure hearts, they love everyone. You can say accidentally, little kids can accidentally hurt each other or scratch each other, and a minute later it's all over and they just come back and they play. But if we could just try to practice that, you know, just look at the children and let them be an example for us in certain situations, you know, the world would be a better place. And if we just be aware of when our children and grandchildren and other children are in our presence, that they are learning from us, even if they're not saying anything, even if they're not looking at us, children pick up everything. They can be playing, but at the same time, they're still concentrating on what you're saying and what you're doing, because they are eager to learn, and that's their nature. So does anyone have any comments on that?
Hey, I kind of have a question. So,
yes.
And I don't mean to sound naive or anything, but and you're right. I totally agree with you about how, you know, kids, when you know, they might accidentally hurt each other. Me being a teacher, I've seen that a lot, where kids will bump into each other, or, you know, they'll even do each other on purpose, like, you know, elbow each other on purpose or punch somebody on purpose. And maybe an hour later they'll be back playing at recess or whatever the case may be. But I notice how when you're kids, it's physical, but then when you become older, it becomes internal. It becomes like mental and emotional things, more so hurts. Should it be easier for us as adults to get over those things or not? I mean, because isn't it true? I mean, I don't know. I'm just really pondering the thought. Is it more so that emotional and mental stuff hurts more? Or is it not? Or is it that we're just holding on to stuff? What is it?
Well, I'm thinking that maybe a lot of the way we love is our family and generational things and the people who we are around. If you're in a family where there are a lot of feuds and a lot of unforgiveness and this and that, you tend it's hard to break that. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of being around a lot of other people who are loving sometimes. And to have the desire to turn that around and not be that way, it takes a lot of work. It's not like you're going to wake up one morning and say, okay, I don't want to be this way.
I'm going to share.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Hi. We can't hear you. I think we lost that person.
Well, while she's waiting, like what you were saying just now, Gail, kind of really brought an aha moment for me, kind of, because I noticed a couple times when I went to my father's side of the family, their gatherings, I noticed there was a lot of tension. And you're so right that when there's unresolved family issues, it kind of carries on, and you have to kind of learn how to be, how to get out of that cycle, I should say. Because my mother's side of the family, they're more, you know, we may hurt each other a little bit here and there, but my mother's side of the family, they're more forgiving and more in tune with, you know, learning how to forgive one another and get over stuff and apologize and things like that. On my father's side of the family, they hold things a lot. So I didn't even realize the contrast between those two until you start talking about it. So thank you.
Thank you for your thought-provoking questions, because, I mean, like I say, I know with me, matters of the heart are really just so sensitive, and it's on people's minds constantly, but this is a setting that we address so much. And a lot of times it's not addressed. You know, like I say, it's through love songs and all the pain and the hurt. And then you go to church. I know when we sing a lot of the songs in church, that's when I cry. You know, I don't cry a lot. But it's like the songs and things just bring up so many emotions and things that you don't share with people. But it brings out a lot of, in a way, a lot of the impurities that are in you. It cleanses you, you know, the song. And that's a means of communication that people use instead of just revealing what's going on in their lives. That's why, for me, music is a release in a way. So thank you for your comment. Anyone else?
I was going to speak to what Marcus said, because I can relate to that, because with me, my ex-husband was raised to where he could not, well, not, let me not say could not, but he didn't know how to show his feelings, because his father was like that. You know, boys are not supposed to cry. So, you know, when we got married, he had to be hard like that, and it was hard for him to really show it, the emotional side. So that made him be harder. So when Marcus said going to the father side and the mother side, and with us, we're such a loving family, even though we have our disagreements, we come together, because my mother would make us, if we got into it, she would make us cry with snotty noses. We was going to read a scripture. She's going to have us praying. We was not going to end the fight, you know, mad at each other. So that's how, you know, I think everybody's different. In the heart, it is a matter of the heart. You just have to learn. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, when you get it, you understand that everybody comes from different places. So when Marcus said that, it made me think too. It's like when you kind of have to do some research and figure out where, you know, it comes from different sides. It's kind of, it can be generational, I guess, as well. But when you really want to know, you know, how to get well, I guess, because the heart has to heal, but you got to want it to heal, and you got to know, you know, how do I look at a person's heart and see, because again, we can look at the outside and say this person's always mean or bitter or angry, but we don't know what that person's been through or where that person's come from. So Marcus, thank you, because that's also has helped me in raising my children, because, you know, in this day and age, my son just said he's 26. He's like, Mom, thank you, because he knows so many young people that don't come from love, that, you know, some people have not even been hugged by their own mothers. Or their fathers have never said, hey, I love you, or I'm proud of you. So, yeah, it's a lot of hurt in this world. And in the church, and like you said, Diamond Gale, because people get emotional listening to church songs, but that's not always enough.
No. No, it's definitely not. But it's a start.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I also wanted to say, too, maybe that, knowing that, as I was listening to Dee Dee as well and thinking about what we were just talking about, I think that will help us if we look closer at that, help us to choose people that we're attached to later on, to pay attention to how they interact with their families. You know, don't just jump into a relationship or a friendship or a business partnership or anything without, you know, understanding where people come from. Like, you know, go with them to their family gatherings and, you know, pay attention to how they treat their mom or dad or how they interact with their brothers and sisters. And, you know, and you'll kind of see, you kind of get a glimpse of what you might be getting into later on, if we pay attention, that is. The other thing I want to say, too, is as a teacher, I've noticed, like, on two different things. I've noticed, like, I'll like, chastise a child, and then I'll forget, wait a minute, Marcus, that they may not really get structure at home. So it's like you can't really come at them like they should know, because a lot of them really don't know. And then on the flip, there are some kids I'll show them love, or I'll say I'm proud of you, and they'll look at me like, what is wrong with you? But I have to remember that they don't always hear that. You know, they don't always get that I love you and I'm proud of you and all that stuff. So, yeah, Dee Dee, what you said made me think of that as well.
Yeah. You all made me think of something. I was told after I got married that when a lady is considering being in a serious relationship with someone, and especially marriage, that you should always see the way that he treats his mother, because that is a very delicate relationship. And if he's always arguing with his mother or he disrespects his mother, then chances are that's what he would carry into the relationship. And I guess with a woman as well, but definitely, you know, you will be able to see how he will handle you later on. Because when we're in relationships, when you are all lovey-dovey and you first meet somebody and you're engaged and this and that, but when the love slows down a little bit and it's some years down the road and you have children and all of that, sometimes the personality will change. Let me take that back. The personality does not change. Sometimes the real heart is revealed. But that's something I wish I had known, because when I look back on my marriage and then I reflect on some of the things and some of the conversations and some of the interactions that I saw, that it was truly revealed once I married that person. So that's just a little tidbit.
Yeah, Gail, I concur. This is Tim. I was in a relationship back in the 80s. It was not a marriage. But I did not like the way this woman treated her mom. And it really had an impact on my relationship with her, because that was a ever-present, you know, thought in my mind, the way she treated her, and I didn't like it. And I remember, yeah, well, anyway, that's, you're right. Sometimes it's on the flip side, but that is, my mother taught me that too, and said that, you know, the way a man treats his mom could very well be representative of how he may treat his woman, wife, girlfriend, whatever. But it was a flip side for me. The way she treated her mom, I didn't like how she talked to her. Yeah.
Thank you. And yeah, it could be anybody else. I mean, you can see the way that people interact with their friends, coworkers, even just under a stressful situation. Because when we first start dating people, they're on their best behavior. But when we're around each other, our true hearts will be revealed. But as I said in the declaration, do we accept that? Do we overlook it? Because we're looking at what position a person has, or the crowd that they run in, or the nice clothes that they wear. You know, sometimes we just look at the wrong things, and it puts us in situations that we didn't necessarily have to be in. So does anyone else have any comments?
I want to say this one other thing. You just mentioned about, and you did it in the declaration, about overlooking signs. When you look at the overall picture of the world we live in, and everything, everybody wants things to happen so fast, even relationships, you hear people giving advice on relationships, y'all need to take it slow, take it slow, take it slow. That tells you that people are doing stuff too fast. And so we get ourselves involved in relationships, and we want to go real fast because, like you say, we're like good behavior, lovey-dovey, let's do things, let's go here, let's do that. And before you know it, you're in a committed relationship, and you didn't really get a chance to know that person. But that goes along with everything else in life. We just want to do stuff fast. We just want to do everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. And so, yeah, so I think we do ignore the signs because of our, you know, penchant to just do things fast and get involved fast. And a lot of times people are hurting and they look to find comfort in that person, thinking that because they see all the good stuff, which is, of course, the put your best foot forward stuff, not taking the time to get to know that person, we find ourselves in hurtful situations and relationships later on down the line because we didn't take our time, slow it down. But that's just kind of our society too. We're pushed and promoted and motivated to do everything fast. But I think about that scripture, the things we do for the Lord is the only thing that's going to last. So,
amen.
We need to incorporate that.
Amen. And what I'm trying to practice now is not to jump into things. And what I'm trying to practice is to take everything to God in prayer first. If I can learn to jump into that habit, then things would work out a lot better. Just take it to God. Just sleep on it. Like, even say, I love to shop, so even when it comes to shopping, what I've learned to do is if I see something I think I have to have it, I will go home and I will sleep on it and make that decision the next day, not while I'm just standing there looking at it. And a lot of times I'll look back on it and I forget about it. I won't even go back. So, you know, a lot of times just doing things at the spur of the moment, if that's a habit we have, then it's something that we need to break. Except if that spur of the moment is, okay, God, I need to talk to you about this. I know you got it. That's probably the only incident, situation where I want to just jump into something. And that's making sure that God is in the midst of it. So thank you, Tim, for that. Anyone else? One more question, if no one else has anything. How do we teach our children to deal with matters of the heart, or how do we help them? I know a lot of situations when I was growing up and our parents say, oh, you don't need to be dating this person. Or, nope, you don't date anybody like that, or blah, blah, blah. We didn't listen. But how do we try to protect our children, knowing that?
Hello, Sister Gail. This is Brother Eric. To answer that question, if we're Christian parents, now I think we follow what the scripture says in Deuteronomy, that we write the word on the doorposts and around the house. And I don't mean literally, but teach the word. You know, have an abundance of the word, environment of scripture reading and devotion weekly. That's one way. We teach by example, you know, having them see us in our hearts, and by holding them up in prayer.
Amen.
And, Gail, one of the things that I have learned, especially with Hadassah, what's important for me is to allow her to see me go through some stuff, you know, how I deal with things. And sometimes it's difficult for me, and some things are not as difficult, but I don't really hide stuff from her. And I'm an older mom. She's 14 and I'm 52. And basically that speaks to most people at 52, their grandparents. That's a grandparent age. So me and her dad was later in life having her. So everything, even with my rod of correction, you know, no spankings or nothing like that, but I teach her about consequences, because whatever choices that she will make in life, she has to know that there are consequences. So we don't do a lot of hitting, those kind of things around here, but consequences. And just training her up so that, you know what, not only is she independent, but interdependent, where she can ask somebody for help, because her mom doesn't do that so easily. You know, so I had to look at myself and see some of the things that I don't do so well, that I don't want to put off on her. But I want her to be someone who will ask for help. And not only that, that she'll do some things that will she will, you know, she'll reach out whenever she needs, you know, some things. Like, I'm teaching her about money and how to make appointments and all. She got her braces, but she did the work. I ain't do none of the work. She did the appointment, even when she makes her doctor's appointment. I have to teach her, because I don't know how long I'm going to be in her life. And so I have to make sure that she's equipped with what she will need. If my mom was in my life at her age, what would be helpful? You know, all of those things. And so sometimes I think we spend so much time protecting them that we don't really equip them. You know, I don't want her to be afraid of the dark. So sometimes, you know, when she walks home from PAL with her friend at night, you know, and some people might be tripping because it's Richmond or whatever, but I don't want her to have those kind of fears, afraid of, you know,
So a lot of times I have to think about, you know, what I'm doing, and I want her to be pretty well balanced. And sometimes it's not just my way that looks so wonderful, you know, but I have to ask God, teach me how to teach her, because I don't want her to have the fears that I have and the struggles that I have, you know, and I don't want to be controlling, you know, but I want her to be just a well-balanced kid, you know, and grow up to be a good adult.
Oh, very good point. Yeah, I know my parents were very overprotective, which might be some of the reasons why that I don't see a lot. And plus, I was raised in Louisiana. I mean, how much interaction did you have with people? Well, there was a lot of bullying. I do remember bullying, but also because I was so overprotected that, you know, you do run into a lot of things in life that the average person can handle. And, yes, keeping an open line of communication with our children, that's very crucial. But when your parents are very overprotective, sometimes you don't bring anything to them. And sometimes if you happen to be an overachiever in school and your grades are good and, you know, your parents are always bragging on you, then it's hard for you to bring things to them that's just a regular, normal thing, because you don't want them to think that you're going to be bad or you're going to be this. But it can really harm a child, like you
you're
said,
right.
by
yeah,
keeping
you're right.
everything away from them.
Yeah, you never know. You know, she may not, you know, I don't know. You know, her grades are pretty cool, you know, but she may not be the one that's so studious. You know,
mm-hmm.
she may like science, and she might be a C average student. And, you know, do I say, you know, that's not good enough? You know, do I say that's not good enough because she brings home C's? That might be her best. You know, so we learn, you know, how to, you know, we have to know them. You know,
mm-hmm.
know who you're talking to, and God has given them to us to be the best stewards that we can be over them. And sometimes I think we fail crazily because we set the bar so high that we never really get to know our children.
And sometimes because of the mistakes we've made, we try so hard to live our lives through our children and for them to avoid mistakes that, like you say, we don't equip them. We just tell them, no, don't do this, but we do not give them any avenues on what to do properly. And also, I think one of the things that my grandmother taught me, if we just keep that in the forefront for ourselves and our children, is to treat people the way you would like to be treated. If we just try to stick to that, yes, then I think that would help a whole lot. Thank you, Ravonda. Does anyone else have any other comments as I close?
Yes, Sister Gail, this is Brother Eric again. I had a couple other things I had wanted to add. I think we have to teach our children to be purveyors of grace. And that's also by example, too. And what I mean is that by being able to teach them, being able to how to be able to forgive, and letting them also see you at your vulnerable moments, you know what I'm saying? That you're not a perfect parent, that you know, that you cried, that you get hurt. I witnessed that with my mother all the time. And there was a point in my daughter's life where I wasn't there. But I remember when we began the reunification process, she told me one thing that I had totally forgot. She had told me this one incident, and she's like, "Dad, that really taught me how to be a forgiving person from that experience that she seen me go through." And she was just a little thing, you know, but that's always touched my heart. So I think that's one of the things too. And lastly, whenever I instructed her, I didn't just tell her, or I tried not to all the time tell her, you know, just because this is what I said, but to explain to her why I'm doing this, you know, why I'm disciplining to you, to review, because that was always in my mind, you know, why do I have to do this, or why, because I always had such an insatiable curiosity, and I recognized that in my daughter Latrice, too, so I always wanted to let her know the reason why, and it always went a long way for her, you know, obeying or understanding, so I think that's one of the most important things that we could do for our kids, and teach them how to, you know, not only have a good heart, but to examine and to search their own hearts, to have the most amount of knowledge in any situation that they have and be forearmed with.
But isn't it awesome how God gives us teaching moments with our kids, you know, as we walk through this life with them? You know, as we do life with them, because at some point we have control, and then we have to realize when we do have influence, and that is really good when we're going through and we explain about the moments. Because we grew up, most of us on the line who are 50 plus, you know, it was about shut up and don't say nothing. You know, kids didn't really have a voice, and nowadays we can't raise our kids like that. We have to raise them to be we have to raise them to know that they have a voice, and we don't say shut up, you know, or kids, you know, you have to take your place. You know, sometimes I have to remind Hadassah, only because I'm older, not to worry about something, because I am older having her, you know, and most of her school age students, their moms are at least 20 years younger than me. So a lot of times I have to be careful, you know, with her, and have to tell her, you know what, sometimes it's okay to be a kid. You know, you don't have to worry about this. Don't worry about that, Hadassah. But I don't tell her to shut up. You know, when she asks me a question, I answer it. You know, of course, when I'm talking with grown-ups and stuff like that, I have to tell, you know, go ahead and excuse herself, you know, go be somewhere else. But I tell her why. You know, because sometimes, you know, we have to really realize that God gives us those moments where we can really teach our kids how to be adults early. You know, and it may seem like it's too much, but sometimes we have to do that. And so, yes, we do have to. Whenever they see our vulnerability, they see us struggle, they see us go through financial difficulty, I have to tell her what I pay in rent. All of that kind of stuff, so she understands when I don't want to give her a hug. I ain't getting her no hoverboard. I'm not getting that.
Also, we have to, it's best when we let them know that we have made mistakes, and we were the age, you know, we were teenagers before, and let them know we made mistakes and just talk to me about whatever. And it's not easy. Because a lot of us didn't have that, but we do the best we can, and God is using us to raise these children. And if we teach them to go to God, and that's the best we can do. We just do the best we can and be positive and try to keep them encouraged. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is
yes.
Gil and Juliet. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just wanted to say, I just thank the Lord for the little time I had with my mom. You know, she died when I was 17, but she was, you know, she was from the old school, and she didn't like the old school. So she was like, I want to talk to my children. You know, I want you guys to talk to me. And she talked to us about sex and stuff like that. And I mean, a lot of stuff she told us, and even about budgeting our bills and everything. So a lot of things she told us at the time when I was young, I was thinking, man, I'm too young. I just want to be a kid. But, you know, I realized that the Lord was preparing her. You know, I don't think she knew it, and we didn't know, of course, that she was preparing us for that time when she wasn't going to be here. But I was able to take those jewels, those nuggets that she gave me, and was able to give and impart some of that to my children. And then when I got to a point where they started getting into that stage of, like my son, he started getting into the adolescent stage. And I started noticing, you know, that grip as a parent was, I felt like it was slipping. The Lord had me give both my children a rites of passage. And he, you know, he showed me how to do it, put, you know, told me how to formulate it, everything. And I didn't realize that when I was doing this rite of passage, I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing it for him, but I actually was doing it for myself. God showed me, you know, because I was able to, when I did it, it was almost like a, being a single parent kind of relieved me of the responsibility, because he said, he told me that, you know, that he's at the age of accountability now. Now he's accountable to me. You've taught him, so now you have to sit back and let him experience, you know, not you teach it and you step back and let them try to learn from what they've been taught. So he was like, that's the stage he's in right now. And so now it's time for you to back up. And so when I did that rite of passage, that was a reminder to me as they were going up and making decisions, because my role changed as a parent. You know, I started being more of a counselor as more of a parent, you know. Then I was able to step back, and it was like a weight lifted off of me because it was almost like a release, but not a release. I know I was still a parent, but I was also, I'm not trying to take the responsibility for all their actions, because I knew I taught them what I taught them. And so they had to learn from the, you know, whether they made a bad or good decision, they had to learn from that. So I like to say that as parents, sometimes once you've trained them, you have to trust what you imparted into them and step back a little bit, you know, and allow them to begin to, you know, put those words of wisdom, and, you know, let them put it into action. And you just step back and you know, as they fall, they'll come back and ask you or talk to you about it. So that's what I wanted to put out there.
Amen. Thank you for your input. Also, we can learn so much from our children as well. So if we have open minds and open hearts, that they can teach us a lot too. Thank you so much.
This is Ollie.
Hi.
I go back as my parents was from Louisiana too. My mother was born 1919 and my father was born 1916. But my mother and father, they always said, thou shalt not lie. Are still, and those some of the things was inbred in me as a child. So through life, I had five brothers. I mean, and I was like the fifth girl. So I went everywhere with daddy, and I listened to my brothers, and they always say, I don't want to hear your name out there on those streets. So I have to be very careful how I navigated through life. And this is some of the things, even with my brothers, that all three of them got married their high school sweethearts. I would have married mine, but he said, we're going to get married, Ollie, and we're going to have 8 kids, and I'm going to join the Navy. That was right there was a turnoff for me, but it starts, as you said, as a child, you have to work with them and, you know, read the Bible, even with my granddaughter now. She's 5 years old, and I teach her how to call on Jesus. Even now in kindergarten, she came, you know, something happened. Call on Jesus. She know how to call on Jesus.
Amen.
I just want to tell you that was an excellent decoration.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your input. Yes, if we start when they're young, then it's not anything we're introducing later, and it's a shock to their system, and they're not used to it. But if they start out that way, then it's a natural part of them. And if they see you doing that, it's also easier for them to accept and to adjust to.
And
anyone
then else? Said, you're gonna, you know, all your friends, you know, you love them. And he said, don't use that word hate. I love everybody, but when it comes to a point, I know you cross over. I forgive you, but I move on. I don't continue to deal with the same people. But I forgive them.
Amen. I was taught not to use the word hate, too. It's a very powerful word, and it can take you in the wrong direction. If you build up hate in your heart, then it's very, very difficult for others to be around you. And sometimes you don't even want to be around yourself when you're full of hate. So I pray that
thank you.
We don't have hate in our heart.
That's right.
Even if it's generational, if your family has generations of hate, and we bind the generational curses of hate in Jesus' name. This world is seems to be full of a lot of hate right now, and that's what we need to steer away from. And it's important that we try to steer our young people away from it because of the type of world that they are being grown, they are growing up in. So, thank you so much for your comment. Anyone else? Anyone else have a last comment that you'd like to make? Well, I hope and I pray that this declaration may have encouraged someone. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for healing our hearts and loving us unconditionally. Please bless us with a forgiving heart, a compassionate heart, and a grateful heart. Be blessed and encouraged today as we go with the love of the Lord in our hearts. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Have a blessed day.
Bye.
Be blessed today.
You as well.